welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com, unofficially sponsored by Kevlar Vests. Coming to you today, we have Nikki, who ordered some Kevlar Vests. Welcome.
Hi.
Also joining us, we have from the ABC side of things, we have Tina. Welcome.
Hello.
And holding down the fort over at CBS, we have Mike.
Hello.
No, I thought they were Kevlar, but I didn't know they were vests. I thought there were other Kevlar things that we were discussing.
I was trying to be polite. I'm sorry. I cannot help it. Well, we're discussing our Performer of the Week episodes for the previous week. Tina, who did you have?
My Performer of the Week, it's not one character. It's not two. It's a dynamic. It's kind of hard to explain. It's Andrea Evans as Tina and Erica Slezak as Vicky, having Tina and Vicky, you know, run into each other in the airport, and they didn't have a lot of scenes together. They didn't have, you know, tons of interaction, but what interaction they had was complete and utter gold. It just shows that Tina was completely wasted in this Mendora storyline and really should have been mixing things up with Vicky and with Todd. I mean, she should be with these characters because that's where the history is. That's where it shines through. And those scenes made those episodes of One Life to Live the best this week.
I would have to agree. I've just been catching up on that myself, and I had not seen Tina and Vicky together before, and it was just thoroughly enjoyable to watch them. Mike, who did you have for your Performer of the Week?
Well, I have a tie, but I'm going to go and give my vote to Eric Braden for all the time he was in hospital fighting for his new wife Sabrina, and just him being able to shift from anger to despair to downright being mean to his children and Nikki. I thought that he was excellent, and I have to say that you can tell when Victor is mad because it's really the only time you can hear him without turning up the volume. Every other time he just kind of mumbles you know, he's the one that talks the lowest out of everybody. But when he's angry, you can hear him. So my vote's for Eric Braden.
Nikki, was your person talking up this last week?
Well, I have to say I'm going to pull something you guys have done regularly. And I'm going to say several people on the cast of Young and the Restless throughout the Sabrina dying and Jess Watson's reaction to finding out that David had killed G-Min, and Eric Braden obviously has been phenomenal. I mean, he has such a subtle, you don't get much of a reaction out of him for much. So the subtlety to it, like him being in Sabrina's office and listening to the music and crying, I mean, it was just very, very, very hit on the heart. And then Melody Thomas-Scott, awesome. She just continues to do a bang-up job. So I'd have to say several people on Young and the Restless were my performer of the week.
What did you think of how she disposed of David?
That was the best.
I loved it. That was awesome.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
I thought it was great. I mean, you don't see that very often, but my only thing is, poor Vincent Irizarry, the poor man can never get a break with it when it comes to his characters. Oh, to have it back.
He plays a good villain.
That's true. That's true.
Nikki, I have to agree with you that with Eric Braden, too, is just that he doesn't have to say much, and you know exactly what he's thinking. And you know how he's going to react before it even happens. So, yeah, he's very subtle in the way he does things. Except when he's angry, he likes to yell.
Yeah, if that man ever, like, completely lost it on somebody, I'd be afraid. I'd run away. Because he'd be not somebody I would want to meet in a dark alley if he was really, really pissed off at me.
No way.
Coming in as Performer of the Week for me is Joseph Mascolo. from Days of Our Lives. His return and just having him back and seeing everything that's going on between EJ and, well, I guess it's not, yeah, Tony. I was just trying to make sure I had the all the Andre-Tony things worked out. Between Tony and EJ and the fact that they're building up to something, loved it. It's so great to have Stefano back. Days of Our Lives just never seems right without Stefano.
You know, it's funny. It's been a long time since we've actually had a performer of the week from that show, and he was actually one of the people that was on my list, too.
Tina, any honorable mentions?
Can I have a dishonorable mention?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just really didn't feel it when Justice Boulding, you know, came onto the plane on One Life to Live, and she's sitting there, and she's supposed to be terrified and terrorized because she just went over these big, huge waterfalls, and she almost drowned, and I just wasn't feeling anything from her. But that's just me.
I'm not going to say anything because the thing is I like
you pulling a Victor.
No, I like Justin Spaulding as her, the I like her. She seems like a very sweet person. I don't have a problem with her character because every time I think about the previous Flash, Justice Spaulding is 100 times improved over that.
Oh, it's I'm not even comparing her to another Flash. I'm just saying that, you know, as a person who just went over these waterfalls and was tied to a raft and separated from the love of her life and suddenly wanders onto a plane that she doesn't even know who's on it, I guess I just expected more fear, more terror. Even when she woke up from her nightmare, I expected, I don't know, just more of a terror type feeling and just not getting it, but that's just me.
Well, I honestly believe they're not sure how to write that character. I mean,
oh, yeah.
she walks into the airplane, and this is all writing, and this is why I don't necessarily think it's the actress, because she walks into it. They have her looking like a wet blanket, which, granted, she went over a fall. So, yeah, I mean, that should be apropos. But she was written, it's like, yeah, I don't remember anything. I just woke up. I heard voices. I ran towards cheering, and I saw a plane taking off. By any stretch of the imagination, putting all those dots together does not equal her ending up on a plane, even under the best of circumstances. It just seems a little bit improbable, at least to me. Nikki, honorable mentions?
Joseph Mascolo, Days of Our Lives. That was my honorable mention. He's just phenomenal to watch. That's all. He's just a constant honorable mention. We'll just put it that way.
Okay, perpetual. Mike, any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I was going to tie this up with Eric Braeden, but my honorable mention is definitely Melody Thomas-Scott. She just was amazing, and she's always amazing. And I wish they would just not let her be Victor's doormat anymore. Do you remember we used to talk about Darth Nikki? Well, I want Darth Nikki back. And I hope that when she comes out of her little what did she take? What did he give her?
Morphine.
Morphine haze, that she realizes that Victor is just not very nice to her at all, and that, well, she fights back.
That will be a perfect perfect topic for discussion in our top 10 ways to save or to improve Young and the Restless, which we'll be recording at the end of this week. So that
I'm going to have a hard time with some of them because that show's gotten better. So it's going to be harder for me than it was to do like Guiding Light. You know what I mean?
See,
so.
I don't. Nelson Branco has been saying that it's better, and you've been saying that it's better, and Jamie's been saying that it's better, but I'm still just not seeing it. Maybe I'm looking at it. I don't know. I'm not seeing it yet. I'm still holding out.
Let's put it this way. I hated Sabrina. I was not sorry to see her go, and I actually cried when she died because of how it was written and the acting involved. So I have to admit, it has gotten better.
Can she get an honorable mention for dying?
I would be willing to give Rhea Medine an honorable mention for the character of Sabrina's death. I would not have a problem with that.
I just think they killed her off. It's one of those things that's like, you got used to her, and she had set up, it took her six months to set up all this dynamic, and now she's gone. It's like, come on.
Hush! Don't say such a thing. That will try and get the character back. And that character was
pointless. I'm not trying to get the character back. Don't worry.
Don't start talking about how you're falling in love with the character right when they die. Because
no.
Need any hallucinations or ghosts. No, none. Yes.
No.
Hey, it's the Adriana syndrome. Just as they go about to walk off canvas and disappear, they become, so much better of a character.
But at least Adriana on One Life to Live, it wasn't something that happened the week before. It was like something that lasted 3 or 4 months before. I mean, at least there's that difference. Whereas Sabrina, they only really bitched her up in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right, they did. But they also set up a lot of potential that if she was actually going to stick around, that there was something to work with. For a long time, there was nothing there. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I want her back.
You down
I'm not saying
sharp
that.
Path and then told you to take a hike.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's discuss some ratings.
That's the truth.
Let's discuss some ratings. Coming in at 3.8, up 0.1 is Young and the Restless. Bold and the Beautiful, 2.6, down 0.1. General Hospital, 2.0, down 0.2. All My Children, 1.9, down 0.1, ties all-time new or ties low rating. Days of Our Lives, 1.9, up plus 1. As the World Turns, 1.9, down 1. One Life to Live, 1.9, down 1, ties low rating. And Guiding Light, 1.6, down 0.1. First impressions, Nikki?
It seems like a weird universe to me. Things seem a little bit out of order since the last time I looked at ratings. I'm glad Days is doing better, but other than that, Guiding Light's the same as it always has been. I don't watch One Life to Live, but I'm shocked it's where it's at.
I look at these ratings, and they just convince me more and more every week that they are completely and utterly meaningless.
I'm totally agreeing, because this does not actively reflect how many people are watching soaps at all.
Yeah.
No.
And it's not even reflecting what people are watching on particular soaps either. It's just, it's so completely off. And you can tell by what's going on the internet and what people are talking about and what they're not talking about. And this is just, not even reflective of what's going on.
Yeah, most of the time you say, like, raising the bar, but it's like, how low can you go? Everything from 3 down is a 2.0 or lower. There is never any time that I've ever seen that. So that's amazing to me. And that can't – you're right, Tina. I agree with you 100%.
I can agree with that too.
Yeah,
these don't make sense to me.
I think the Nielsens have become a complete and utter joke. It's really sad that this is what the networks are using as a measurement, because it is not an accurate measurement, not even close. But you know what? I think some of the networks are aware of this too. Because, a lot of the soaps, I mean, you guys say YNR has been great. It looks like they didn't really spare an expense, in some of the stuff that they just shot recently. I saw some promos that didn't look too bad. I think that the soap people know that the ratings are not all they're cracked up to be. They just have to convince the advertisers that their products are reaching more people to keep the ad dollars.
Well, it goes to, what... I believe Luke and Nelson and Jamie discussed before is that they're not necessarily targeting the right people. The advertisers that look at the ratings and determine their money are pinning their hopes on that, homemaker set that's no longer at home. And they're missing a big demographic of people that watch soaps. I mean, I'm not talking about myself, and I know that they move people. But all the people that were in their demographic 10 years ago are no longer – what are they? Just like no longer interesting anymore, and they're going for the new people that are moving into that age group, because that age group is more computer savvy, internet savvy. they live on DVRs. I mean, we've talked about all this stuff before. It's just, it's not realistic to think that people are sitting at home watching TV.
No, nope, most people have to work anymore. Most stay-at-home moms have had to get jobs, and so that's, the world has changed. It's not the way it was back when my grandma was watching them.
Well, you know, I'm a mom. I have to work. I don't have a choice. I don't get to stay home. So what do I do to watch all the TV I want to watch? I record it. I fast forward through the commercials. I'm in the age group, the demographics that they say they want. I'm not the viewer that the advertisers want because I'm not watching the commercials.
I don't think anybody watches commercials anymore.
Well, you know, and that's a good point because we were talking about the Olympics before. I'm actually recording them just so I can watch an hour behind and fast forward through what I don't like and the commercials. So even for something that I would – now, this is something I would watch live all the time. But now that I have a DVR, I don't watch anything live. I tape a lot of stuff just so I don't have to – watch and sit through commercials and watch, you know, an hour of TV when it's really only 40 minutes long. I mean, that's 20 minutes an hour that you're gaining back.
Yeah, you know, one thing I've noticed today is one of my days off. And I could have sat here and watched them live, but I didn't because I like to watch the parts of the show that I want to watch and not have to watch all of it. I know it's bad, and then I don't like watching the commercials. So I'll DVR it and watch a movie while it's recording, and then I'll go back and watch it like right after it's done so I can fast forward through the stuff I don't want to watch. And I think a lot of people do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you look at it and you take the ABC block and you're talking about All My Children and One Life to Live in General Hospital, and that's 3 hours if you watch it outright. Mm-hmm. Well, they're only 41 minutes when you play them out.
Right.
Yep.
So now you take, you know, 40 and 40 and 40, and you're, what, maybe even with fast-forwarding or whatever, now you've cut it down to an hour and a half?
Pretty much.
You know, it's, you know, maybe a little bit more. I mean, at most, you know, an hour and 45 minutes, maybe 2 hours if you suck at the fast-forward button. But you can shave a lot of time off.
Yeah, you can. And that's important.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And, you know, when you have a kid and you put that kid to bed and then you do the things you need to do, and now all of a sudden you're, you know, it's bedtime and you're in front of the TV and you really don't have a lot of time before you have to go to sleep because you got to get up for work the next morning. As much TV as you can cram in, that's what you do, and you hit fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is I know a lot of people who record during the week and then play it back on Saturday and Sunday.
I've done that.
I'll even, if I'm doing something while it's on and I hear a commercial from the other room, I'll actually run out and fast forward through the commercial. You know what I mean? Just to get through it faster. So there's just a lot of the fast forward button is probably should be bigger.
It's your best friend.
On the remote control.
Well, Can I just tell you, I no longer record on network TV. I record everything on SoapNet.
Yeah.
I do too. For Guiding Light, obviously.
It's been horrible here in the Northeast. We've been having tornadoes and thunderstorms, and, you know, they're cutting into TV every 5 or 10 minutes with these warnings. In fact, even on the Olympics, they've been putting it on the bottom of the screen, all these warnings. And, you know, they just cut into a program and they, you know, rejoin the program already in progress, and you can lose 15 minutes of your show.
Right.
And usually it's the 15 minutes commercials that you won't see.
Yeah, because they never cut in during the commercials, which, you know, really sucks. So What are you supposed to do? You record it on SoapNet where they don't have any of that, and I think that they definitely need to start taking that into account a lot better.
I do have to say, though, since it was my day off and I had nothing better to do, I watched As the World Turns, which I haven't watched since Grayson left, and I figured since he's coming back, I should probably figure out what the heck's going on. And I actually enjoyed today's episode, so maybe I'll have to start watching it regularly again.
It's been worth it. And considering how often they have Chris out of his shirt, you should just be in heaven with it because of his abs.
Yeah. All I got to say is when Grayson comes back, he better have more hair. Because that haircut he had when he left, bad. No.
Isn't he supposed to be dead?
Well, we just learned on One Life to Live that there's no extra hair in heaven.
Aw.
There you go. Got your answer.
Well, on that note, we would encourage you to send your emails and comments to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Drop by the blog at daytimeconfidential.com to comment on this episode or in the forums at forums.tvfanonline.com. Leave us a comment on the comment line at 917-677-9757. And until next time, we thank you for listening. So long, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And send all your spare hair to Nikki.
No, not to me, to Grayson. He's the one who needs it.
Okay, so long, folks.
Bye.